Chapter 8, The Essential Doctrine. The four problems having been solved, and some prevalent objections met, we can now proceed to an examination of the doctrine itself. Reincarnation is based upon a combination of a doctrine concerning human life and a principle in nature. The doctrine, already expounded, is the perfectibility of man, and the principle is periodicity. Man, in his essential spiritual nature, is as a seed of deity. That seed is planted in the superphysical and physical worlds in order that it may develop to the highest possible degree. In the human kingdom of nature, the individual who has reached this state is known as an adept or perfected man. Time and opportunity. Clearly, such achievement is not possible in one earth life. Even if the full span be completed, there is neither time nor opportunity in which fully to develop every human power. This difficulty is met by the operation of the principle of periodicity, ebb and flow, forthgoing and return. Solar systems, including even their minutest components, obey this law. Similarly, not once, but many times, man as ego enters into physical incarnation at birth and withdraws therefrom at death. On each occasion, variations of sex, race, caste, environment, opportunity, and activity occur. As a result, progress is made in each life until at last all necessary experience is gained, all powers developed, and all weaknesses overcome. By this means, ultimate success for all men is assured. Infinite time and wide diversity of experience being thus provided for the unfolding spiritual self of every man. Each cycle on the ascending spiral path by which man reaches his goal of adeptship consists of a descent of a portion of the power, life, and consciousness of the ego into physical incarnation, and a subsequent return, always to a higher position on the spiral. The descent into incarnation. Each new cycle opens as a result of a change of consciousness experienced by the ego at a certain period after the conclusion of the preceding cycle. This change is called in Eastern philosophy tanha, a Sanskrit word meaning thirst for life. In this case, the thirst is for further growth, wider and fuller self-expression. Knowing that these can only be gained by re-entry into physical life, the ego, which abides on the plane and level of consciousness, of which the abstract intellect is a part, turns his attention to the denser worlds. A triple ray of egoic power, life, and consciousness is projected, first to the plane of the concrete mind, where mental substance is drawn round it, gradually forming a mental body. Meanwhile, the ray penetrates still further into the realm of emotion, where similarly a body of desire is formed. Finally, it reaches the physical world, and generally at the time of conception, is attached to the first twin cell then formed, which later grows into a physical body. During prenatal life, these bodies develop, and the ego becomes increasingly conscious of them. After birth, this process continues. egoic awareness at the three levels, steadily improving, particularly from the seventh year. Normally, egoic mastery of the physical body reaches its height at full maturity, the life after death. This process of growth through physical experience continues until death, the moment and manner of which are governed by the law of cause and effect. The physical body is then laid aside, and the process of return begun, for a time, the length of which depends in large measure upon the nature and strength of the emotional life whilst on earth. The ego is conscious on the emotional body and continues to reap karma at that level. This, no doubt, gives rise to the idea of purgatorial experiences after death. Valuable lessons are learnt. Evolutionary progress is made, and eventually the desire body is laid aside, and the last stage of the return journey entered upon. This consists of life in the mental body, which, being completely free from desire, is perfectly happy, a state corresponding to some extent to paradise or heaven in religious teachings. Eventually, when the higher aspirations have found their fullest possible mental expression, this period comes to an end, and the aspect or fragment of the ego which has made the cyclic journey is reabsorbed into the higher self from whence it came. The human prodigal son has returned home. The ego then becomes temporarily quiescent as far as the three lower worlds are concerned. During this period, all experiences and achievements of the cycle just concluded are converted into faculty, gift, and capacity, into power, wisdom, and knowledge. These harvestings of the life cycle are preserved as imperishable possessions of the ego and constitute part of those treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal, Matthew 6, verse 20, the true riches of the soul. The attainment of nirvana. Such, in part, is a single cycle in the spiral ascent of man to the fulfillment of his destiny. Perfection attained, he is free from the wheel of birth and death. All necessity for further human physical experience having been outgrown. This liberation is beautifully expressed in The Light of Asia, Sir Edwin Arnold's poem on the life of the Lord Gautama Buddha, the great Eastern teacher and sage. Therein, the state of perfection is described as follows. No need has such to live, as ye name life. That which began in him when he began is finished. He hath wrought the purpose through of what did make him man. Never shall yearnings torture him, nor sins stain him, nor ache of earthly joys and woes invade his safe eternal peace, nor deaths, nor lives recur. He goes unto nirvana. He is one with life, yet lives not. He is blessed, ceasing to be. Om Mani Padme Om. The dewdrop slips into the shining sea. The teaching that the necessity for further rebirth is eventually outgrown would appear to be echoed in the words of the Book of Revelations. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. Revelation 3, verse 12.